Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY car fix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
Oikos presents 15 Seconds of Strength.
Here we go. Steve's got a trunk full of groceries and no one to help him.
Oh, that's tough, Jim. Looks like a 5-trip load at least.
He grabs the first bag, the second. Bob, it looks like he's trying to do it all one trip. He shimmies the door open, steps over the dog. Oh, and he stumbles.
Oh, right into the kitchen without missing a beat. Mm. Jim, now that's a man who eats his protein-packed Oikos.
With 15 grams of complete protein in each cup, Oikos Triple Zero can help build strength for every day. Oikos, stronger makes everything better.
If your car failed on windscreen wipers or the washer's not working, if you remove the windscreen, you'll pass.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Auto Alex podcast. This is now series 2, episode numero tres.
Oh, surround sound synchronized.
You join Rory Taylor and I for another idle podcast of car chat and your questions and fine of the week and a new segment right at the end, which we're very excited about. But before we do that, sorry.
What was that? You were right.
I don't know. I just literally, my mouth farted. I think my brain was going too quickly and my mouth was like, nope, back it up. Before we do that though, what have we all been up to? Rory, let's start with you.
So I've been skiing. Yeah.
Well, again?
Yeah.
You can't.
I need to try and, you know, make sure that next time we go skiing.
Yeah.
I can try and teach Taylor how to ski because it was just so abysmal last time.
I'm gonna do ski lessons before we go again.
We're going next week.
Are we?
Yeah.
All right, I'm off.
Can I teach you?
No, because you just laugh at me.
And you will be filming the whole time. Live streaming, teaching Taylor how to ski.
It's great entertainment.
And you won't allow me to go on the beginner slopes. You'll just put me straight on the big one like you did before.
I don't know if we've ever actually mentioned that. So when we went skiing, when we were in Chamonix, and then we were trying to find the beginner slopes, and I thought to get to the beginner slopes, we had to go down quite a big slope first. Yeah.
Mm. Turns out very big slope.
There was just a little lift as soon as you get off the top that we could have gone off.
Oh, that's the one we took, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, Taylor should have been on that. Yeah.
So
yeah.
What they actually did was take someone who is completely inexperienced with skiing, very nervous about skiing.
You weren't nervous.
I went on there
and you were like, right, I'm going to dominate this.
You did think you were going to be so good at it.
I hid the nervousness very well. I was nervous and straight on the big slope. And do you know what? Even you'll admit this. At the beginning, I was doing all right and I started to get the hang of it. And then I saw it and I was like, nope. And I just crashed.
In the beginning, you were okay because you were going in a straight line.
No. He wasn't even moving. He was just standing. That's where it was okay.
Yeah.
As soon as moving came into it was just gone.
Because I went down the bit to the slope and I was fine. And then I saw the slope and I got really, I was like, no way.
Computer says no.
Yeah. And I started building up speed and I thought, well, I'd rather crash at this speed than the faster speed. So I just crashed myself.
No, you just got to commit
to it. And then it just got worse from then on.
Yeah. It was very, very funny to watch.
Yeah, the thing I got frustrated about was not being able to get up. And I think that's just because I'm quite unfit.
Yeah.
So I'm going to improve my fitness levels and do some ski practicing and then we'll return. Okay. Because I do want to do it.
How are you improving your fitness levels?
I'm going to healthy eating.
How was that today?
I'm going to healthy eating.
Today, not so good. mainly because I had a bet with Andrew the other day and he said, if I win, he'll buy me a cheeseburger. And I won.
Yeah.
So he bought me a McDonald's.
Oh, okay. So you had a single cheeseburger?
I had a cheeseburger, yeah. Well, it was a steak. What's that nice one? The steak with the...
Like the Angus steak thing,
It was.
Oh, no, that's a Burger King thing, isn't it?
No. It was the McNice. Yeah, and with some chips.
And some chips.
And some mozzarella dippers.
And you had mozzarella dippers as well?
I do
love a little bit of McDonald's. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie.
Excuse me. On the way in, right, into the unit, I was like, Rory, I'm gonna go to Sainsbury's. I'm gonna buy a new kettle. Would you like me to buy you some lunch? He was like, Oh, go on then. Yes, I'll have one of those really nice chicken teriyaki things with rice. We haven't.
They've got these little fresh deli sort of rice boxes in Sainsbury's. Really,
they're not part of the meal deal there, that good.
No. But they are really good.
They're really good, yeah. So I turn up at the unit. I'm like, oh, Rory, my good friend, my good pal. We have a little embrace, don't we?
Yeah.
And then it got to lunchtime. And then I go outside and everyone's like standing around the Jaguar, supercharged Jaguar. I look up. And I see Rory the hamster filling his face with a burger.
Double cheeseburger.
And I'm like, what's going on?
No, it was a single cheeseburger.
Was it?
Yeah. But I was like, what's going on? I've bought you a really nice lunch. Look, and you throw it back in my face.
Are you telling me if a man walks up to you and goes, I've got a spare cheeseburger, you're going to say no?
Yeah, we did get one as a spare, just in
case. Oh, just a spare. What, back pocket burger?
Well, it was like, you know when you have a McDonald's and you eat it and you're like, oh, I don't quite feel full up. So we bought a spare one just in case. And Rory had the spare one.
For the drive home.
No, there's like a dessert, but it's a savoury dessert.
Oh, it's okay. To answer your question, I'd be like, no, my body is my temple. Now give me that burger. I would, fair play, fair play.
Yeah, you would eat it, wouldn't you?
But it's just the way like you looked at me while you were eating it, maintaining eye contact. And I was like, you spicy bitch. Anyway, skiing. How many times have you been skiing this week?
This week, once.
Okay, how about this month?
Once.
Okay, this year? You've been a lot of times.
Twice.
Question. Do you go skiing quite a lot because it's one of the only sports that you can do and sort of mobility things that you can do while quite horrendously drunk?
Yes. I don't like summer holidays. Like, okay. I don't like beaches. I don't like lying around on a deck chair or something like that.
What about if you're at the beach and you're going into the sea?
I hate that.
No.
Really?
No, yeah.
I get scared of all the creatures.
Yeah.
Also, you can have a drink and then ski.
Yeah. But you can get pissed on a beach.
But you can get pissed on a mountain.
Yeah, but you can do it on a beach and be warm.
No, you will full well admit people think skiing cold and whatever, but it's not.
Because you're pissed.
No. No.
Because you've got your heated gilet on.
Yes. But also, you just seem to be really warm up there.
When you're tumbling and then you get up and you walk back up the ski slope because you're not good enough to, you do get quite warm.
Does that make you sweat?
It does.
It really does, yeah.
No, yeah. I don't think there's anything better. It's literally my favourite holiday.
Okay. Mm. So where did you go skiing?
Montgenèvre. Which
What's
is
that?
See, so no one's really heard of this resort. I go to it because it's one of the cheapest ones in Europe.
Yeah.
So it's in France, but it's in literally like the last resort on an Italian French resort border.
Yeah.
So you get the best of both worlds. You get in the mornings, you get all the French patisserie sort of thing.
Oh, I like them.
But then all the food, pasta, pizza, Italian. Oh. It's so good.
That is nice.
And also you can do a full ski trip.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if people know how much usually ski trips are known.
It's proper bare spenny.
Mm. But for an 8-day ski trip, so this is your flights, accommodation, ski pass, ski rental, and private transfer to and from the airport. Mm. How much do you think that would be per person?
Per person, a grand?
600 quid.
Okay, you're well off. £720.
That's actually not bad.
I was closer than he
was. That is for a ski holiday. I cannot
That's
tell
cheap.
You.
Yeah, that is very cheap.
That is cheap. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So you had a good time. Didn't break any limbs.
No. Yeah. All good.
How did Ellie get on?
Ellie's first time was last time we went.
Yeah.
And now she's an absolute don.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Really good.
Taylor, what about you?
Not a lot. I've been filming again.
What have you been filming?
An episode on my Audi S5.
You do like that S5?
I do, yeah.
Has it got a spicy exhaust on it?
It has, yeah. Mm. It has. It's got a full stainless steel exhaust. It's a 4.2-litre V8, manual gearbox.
Oh.
Great bit of kit. So I think it's one of the best V8 sports coupes you can buy.
And what channel is this for?
This is for my new channel.
Which is called?
Probably TaylorMakeCars.
You still haven't...
I would drop probably... Just call it TaylorMade Cars.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Yeah.
Because if you... T is higher up in the phone book, I think. So
No, it's not, but sure.
No, it's not. Yeah, maybe I'll keep the probably.
Have you at least created the YouTube channel yet?
Yeah.
Because otherwise people will just be creating TaylorMade Cars.
I'm going to do it this afternoon.
Okay.
Before this goes out. But yeah, been doing that. I fixed the M5.
It
had that oil cooler leak.
Oh, yeah. It did.
So that's now done.
How much was the oil cooler?
Well, you can buy a genuine one or an upgraded one for like the same sort of money. which is about 700 quid.
Jeez.
They're quite spenny. I managed to get a brand new, it's like a, well, I say brand new, it's a reconditioned genuine one.
Oh, cool.
So it's a fully recalled genuine one.
Yeah.
On eBay, because they had like one of them special offer things on, 250 quid.
No way, nice. Happy days.
So I did a bit of shopping around.
Very good.
And yeah, managed to get that. And it literally comes and it's got all the original BMW stamps and stuff on it. It's just been fully reconditioned. So,
lovely.
So yeah, done that. What else have I been doing? Not a lot, really.
Okay.
Just
just life admin and just
life admin
working on your channel.
Yeah, pretty much.
Very good. As for me, I've been spending time at home with my wife and my daughter, and also Rory. Been spending a lot of time with Rory.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, Rory. Taylor doesn't know about Rory.
You didn't listen to the last episode, did you? I came home, right, and opened the door, and I was confronted by Rory, a robotic vacuum cleaner.
That Rory.
Yeah. And the reason I've called it Rory is because it's really annoying but very useful to have.
Why
around.
Don't you like it?
I just don't want to be that family that has a robotic Hoover, because then I'm in the same boat as Rory with his robotic lawnmower.
How long until you get a robotic lawnmower now?
I like mowing my lawn.
You're so, do you know what's more satisfying though than mowing your lawn?
What, walking behind your mower as it mows it for you?
Yes.
Yes, but I do that because I just press a little lever and I walk behind it already.
Yeah, but it's not as good.
I'm in control of the machine.
Yeah, but no, I am as well. Tell it when to go out.
On your phone?
Yeah.
You get your... Rhianne's got the bloody app as well. She's like, oh yeah, it's just mapping the living room. And I'm like, oh, bloody Rory. But it's quite interesting because it takes itself home and then it sucks itself. It goes...
What does Maisie think of it?
Oh, she's not impressed.
Oh, one thing I forgot.
Yeah.
Also, what have I been up to?
Yeah.
You may remember, is it going to be out yet?
What?
The island video. No, it's out tomorrow.
Oh.
The day after this podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
So, my car in the video that's coming out tomorrow, I gave to our friend Hamilton.
Yeah, nice.
Hamilton, I think his channel's Hamilton James Cars.
Very nice. Yeah.
But I gave him the one condition was that he had to take it on a road trip.
Yes, yeah.
So
he has got the most amount of amazing energy. He's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So energetic.
He came in, he was like, Alex! And I was like, Hamilton!
He nearly fell over.
There was a great moment where he was leaving and we'd shut the doors and he was obviously walking with Taylor, leaving. And then all I could hear was him just saying, oh my God, that was amazing.
Apart from that, motorbiking. I've been on my motorbike.
Oh yeah.
My Triumph Daytona 675R.
I haven't even seen that yet.
Have you not?
No.
It's in the unit.
Have you ridden that yet?
No. Well, I have now.
Yeah, but that, so this is your
that
first
was my
time
maiden
it.
Voyage.
What do you think?
Fantastic. Yeah, really nice quick shifter.
Yeah.
Amazing noise. Why are you smiling at me? When's the last time you rode yours? Oh, didn't you have an update on that?
Yes!
Stolen motorbike gate. Right, let's just rewind.
Yeah.
For anyone who doesn't know about stolen motorbike gate, very, very briefly what happened and what's occurring.
So, bought bike, turns out it was stolen. Police refused to take bike. I told them that it was stolen. They then took bike. They told me that I couldn't get the bike back. I then found it on an auction website that they tried to auction it off to then sell for profit. Then told the auction site no. They then eventually gave it back to the police. The police then gave it back to me saying I had to keep it for 6 months and then it legally became mine. It's now been 6 months.
Yeah.
And I now have the logbook for the original registration that was on the bike.
That's mad. Yeah.
So 2019 bike.
Yeah, 69 plate. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The only thing we have to do is revert the chassis number back.
Yes.
To the original chassis number.
Do some sort of imprint to put the original VIN back in. And then that bike is...
But can you literally do that with a chisel?
So yeah, you can get punches with letters on them and you like punch
but
it
But it's
into
your bike. Like why... What is it legal so, that you have to do that?
As part of the MOT, if you were to MOT it on the original reg, the 69 plate, it has to match the VIN number
but
on the
does
bike.
It
check
it does,
doesn't
okay.
MOT yeah. tester check that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They check the VIN number.
Oh, I suppose they do that with cars, obviously.
Yeah.
But could you not get a sticker?
It wouldn't be the same. It's better to just, we'll just grind it off. Okay. And then put the original one back on.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe I've always wanted to buy the kit to do it because then I can stamp funny words into cars. So maybe I'll buy the kit and then we'll do it together.
Maybe that could be the end of the video then.
Yeah, okay.
Because we've actually already recorded a little bit of the video.
Yeah.
Of the whole story from start to finish with all the details in.
Yeah.
About how I got my bike back, basically. Yeah.
Mm. And then we'll stamp it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then take it for an MOT.
Yeah. Oh.
That would be cool. Ooh. And maybe you could take it for an MOT, Rory.
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, God. We got more filming to do with that episode now, don't we?
We do.
Anyway, back to bikes. Rode my Daytona. Absolutely love it. That's my daily rider. I swapped out my S1000RR for that bike, and I'm very glad I did. More nimble, better on fuel, not as powerful, and I'm not, yeah, it doesn't get up to speed quite so quickly. It's just nicer in traffic as well. Just and it's a three cylinder, which is, it just sounds amazing. It's a bollocks.
I quite like a three cylinder.
It's really good, really really good. But yeah, apart from that, not really much else. Been doing lots of bits of filming, and just enjoying myself really. Just having a good time.
Nice.
So should we move on?
Yeah,
we'll move on to find of the week.
Find of the week.
We have a theme tune now, don't we?
We do. We'll play it now.
It's time for find of the week.
Wow, that was good.
Yeah.
Okay, so find of the week is a new segment in this podcast, episode 3, series 2, where you, the audience, give us a budget and a category and we will come armed with our choice and argue about whose is best. Last week's category and budget, which was chosen by Nathan Wilson, was a great first road legal track car for a budget of £3,000. And you'll remember Rory went for the blowy uppy Mini Cooper S R53.
But the superior track car.
Yeah. Yeah, for four laps. I went for a stock RXA, and our special guest Tom Lenthal opted for a 1.8 Mark II MX5 with a few track goodies already installed.
You two are so predictable.
Unsurprisingly, people also sided with Tom's choice. But this week, Hamilton James, our friend Hamilton, yeah, to whom we gave the Tigra, mm-hmm, has challenged us to find our perfect sports car for a budget of £5,000 or less, can be a coupe or convertible, and extra points if it has a V8 motor. Mm. Taylor, do you want to kick us off with your choice, your find of the week?
Hang on, let me get my blower.
Question.
Yeah.
Is it a V8?
Yes. Of course,
Rory,
it's a V8.
Is yours a V8?
Yes.
Okay. Mine isn't.
Mine is.
Yes.
On Facebook Marketplace.
Yes. Are you screen recording?
I am.
Fantastic.
And it is, obvious choice for me, an Audi S5 4.2 litre manual.
Ooh.
V8. So this is pretty
Say
much,
what you see. What colour is it?
This is a black Audi S5 coupe.
Yeah.
It's on a 57 plate, so 2007. Mm-hmm. It's got the nice twin spoke wheels, and it looks like it needs a bit of a clean.
Yeah.
It's got the quad exhaust.
Oh, is there an Asbo S3 in the background of that picture as well? Lime green one.
That's an RS3.
RS, wow.
Yeah, okay. That is an RS3. Okay. It looks a pretty decent car. It's got the V8 badge on the side, which is nice. Black leather, manual gearbox. These come quite well spec. So it's got sat-nav, cruise control, Leckie windows, xenon headlights, electric seats, heated seats, all the usual bits you'd find. And in the description, it says 140,000 miles.
So it's
a bit leggy, but not bad. Keyless start-stop.
Oh.
It's got Fuse Oleum sound system.
What's that?
It's either Bose or Bang & Olufsen. No, it's a fuse between the both.
Fuse Oleum. He's got Bang & Olufsen in the back, but Bose in the front.
Oh, okay. Right,
It's got auto headlights wipers, R8 coil packs, recently serviced, new water pump, new spark plugs, new coil packs, starts and drives great without any faults, drives very well, powerful and pulls like a train, blah, blah, blah. I think, at the moment, these are a fantastic purchase for the money.
That is a lot of car for the money.
4.2 V8 manual, four-wheel drive.
How similar is that engine to the one you get in the Mark 1 R8?
So it's fairly similar. The basic bones are similar, but this does have less power. So I think this is about 350 to 360 horsepower, something like that, whereas the R8 is about 440.
But are they different engines?
I think it's basically the same. I will need to do a bit more research into that. But yes, I think it's basically the same. They do suffer with the odd issues here and there, electrical issues, stuff like that. But overall, I think they're quite good cars.
Okay.
As I say, I do actually own one of these.
Yep.
And it's brilliant. I love the way it
sounds. Is this yours that you're trying to sell on the side?
No. I love the way they sound. They drive really well. The gear change is nice. And a 4.2 V8 manual.
That's very cool.
They're just so good.
It's very cool.
I think they're quite stylish.
Yeah.
I remember when these generations of Audis came out with those LED daytime running lights, and that was quite revolutionary at the time because nothing else had that.
Okay. And the price of that, please, Taylor?
The price is.
Yes.
So I've compensated for the other podcast I was in because I went £150 over budget.
Yes, you did. Yes.
This one is under budget. So this is £4,499.
Okay,
so £4,500.
Yeah, there you go.
For all of that car.
Okay, nice.
I think that's a lot of car for the money.
Right, as for me, okay, I raise you your Audi S5.
Okay. V8,
and I'm going to throw into the gauntlet my Nissan 350Z with the famous Nissan V8 in it.
Right. And the V6 minus two.
No, the V8 minus two.
No, the V8 minus two.
Yeah, V8 minus two. Mm. Yeah, they decided not to enable these for this particular motor vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So think of this, right? The Nissan 350Z from 2005 as the younger brother / cousin of the GTR. Close your eyes, put your foot down.
No, because famously the GTR is fast and that's not.
This is fast.
No, it's
276
not.
Horsepower, man.
No, it's not that quick.
Let me talk you through it, okay? Okay, this is 2005.
And you haven't listened to what Hamilton wanted. He wanted a V8.
He said bonus points if it's a V8. But this is a spicy Japanese V6.
Okay.
Well, I don't like V8s.
Do you know
well.
What?
It's just yeah.
I do quite like those.
This one is a dark grey colour, which is it's quite nice.
It looks
a bit boring. But if you have a look through the pictures, wow, I mean, that just screams speed and power, doesn't it?
Does it?
Not really. But the interior, I mean, that's fantastic. Japanese leather.
Yep. Yeah.
Always hold up really well and a really inspiring interior.
Why are Japanese interiors so bad?
Because the cars are so good to drive, Rory. They are fantastic enthusiast cars.
They are really bad.
They've always been rubbish, haven't they?
Yeah.
Right, hold on. Let me just talk you through the specs, all right? Like I said, 276 horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
It'll do 0-60. I think 6.4 seconds.
Sorry?
How many?
26.4
No, I think it's about 6.4 seconds. It's really fast.
It's not that fast.
It's faster than running.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
They're decent sports cars,
yeah,
but they're not that fast.
Okay.
Let's be honest, it's not that fast.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But they make a fairly decent racket.
They do.
Let
me talk you through the specs. Okay, 12 months MOT, just service, full service history, meticulously documented history, folder full of invoices for all previous mechanical work, spotless bodywork, very clean interior, blah, blah, blah. Exidy clutch and flywheel fitted at 90K. It's got an intake manifold plenum gasket replace, NGK iridium spark plugs. They're good ones. They're
really nice.
It has got...
Do you know what this screams then for me?
What?
DIY mechanic.
Shut up.
You got to admit, if someone's knowing what spark plugs they're putting in, that's because they've put them in and they've done a DIY job.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing. He could be a master tech. He could be a master tech, just like Tom.
He could also be Taylor.
Whoa.
Oh God.
That's a low blow, man. Yeah. And you wanted me to fix your car later?
Oh,
you can sling your hook.
It's got a torque and cat-back stainless steel exhaust, so you know it's going to sound good.
Mm-hmm.
And they do sound like baby GTRs when you're on it with a nice stainless exhaust, rear-wheel drive as well, all original, book packs present, based in High Wycombe, fantastic motor vehicle. And the price for all of that V6 goodness is a mere £4,895, which leaves me...
£105
for mods.
Fuel. That's nothing.
A tank. Nothing.
You can't even tax it.
A tank.
You couldn't. To be fair. But you know what? No, fair.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Good car, the car.
It's decent. I've always quite fancied one of them.
I like yours. I like mine. And I guarantee both of our cars are going to be better than whatever Rory chooses.
Whoa.
What do you mean, whoa?
Okay.
Is it going to be predictable? Yes.
No. All right. Yes. So, let me read you out some of the headline figures.
Question. Yeah. Is it British?
Yes. Oh, of course
bore
it
off.
Is.
Bore
every
off,
single one of his cars is British, all apart right, from on. His 330. Okay.
Headlines. Yeah, that's the most exotic car he owns.
I know. Yeah, actually it's yeah.
No. All you have is your 330i and your E28 and all of your cars are British.
Yeah.
Wow.
All of them.
And it's weird. They just keep all breaking.
It's so weird.
Unbelievable.
Isn't it?
Yeah, weird that.
So come on then, specs. Let's hear it.
So
yeah.
Horsepower. Yeah. 420.
Oh.
That's quite spicy.
Engine, 4.2 litre, supercharged.
Oh, no, I know what it is.
It's not an MG.
No.
It's a new
MG?
One.
No.
Oh, no, the new spicy.
What was your 0-60, Alex?
Huh?
What? Sorry?
I think it was 6.4.
Okay.
4.9.
That's quite fast.
However, it's British, so only 4.9 when it rolled out of the factory.
No, 4.9 okay. once and then
so
not
what
again.
I have here
yeah, go on.
Is a Jaguar XKR 2007.
Yeah.
With only 96,000 miles on the clock.
And what's the price of that?
£4,500.
You can get 400 horsepower for that, under $5,000.
That is incredible.
Jesus.
Cat D.
Sorry?
Apart from that.
Sorry?
So it's been smashy uppy.
What, sorry?
Did you say category
no,
D?
No. Did I? Oh, yeah. No,
isn't Cat D the old version as well?
Yeah. It was actually Cat D'd in 2011. So when it was 4 years old.
It must have been quite bad.
That's a big one then, isn't it? If they're writing it off after 4 years.
Yeah. It must have been quite a big hit.
All right, let's hear more of the listing.
Okay. Let me go through. So yeah, go I've on. Got a description here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A sound driver needs a bit of TLC.
Red flags. A sound driver.
Is that being sold from up north?
It is being sold from somewhere near Birmingham.
Brilliant.
And then... needs a bit of TLC on the paintwork.
Okay, yeah.
Headliner dropped. Usual bits.
Headliner dropped?
Yeah, just ignore that.
It's a brand new car.
But it's a great price for a supercharged one. 2007, Cat D in 2011, MOT to November. That's quite good.
That is, yeah. I trust the MOT? I don't know.
I'll be honest, lovely cars, terrible example, not a good investment.
Also, not a manual, so boring.
But it doesn't matter. It was a sports car. And I think we can all agree, if we found Hamilton right now, this is what he would pick.
But that's because he's posh.
It doesn't matter. Also, look at it.
All right, okay. Yeah, it looks nice.
Look, Taylor,
question. Mm. Would you rather have a V8 motored car with an automatic gearbox or a V6 powered car, super sports coupe, with a manual gearbox engaging?
Going through the gears. I would, personally, I'd have the S5, but if it was to choose between you two, I'd have the 350Z.
No, you would not.
I would, unless it was a clean version of your car, but that's not.
Look at the headliner.
Oh my God, it's been tacked in.
It looks like these chairs that we're sat on.
So, another question, Rory.
Yeah.
What is the price of a good one of these?
Well, you can get a non-crashed one for about 6,000-7,000.
Okay.
And that would be a very rough one.
A ropey. Okay.
So
okay.
You've found like bottom of the market.
Yeah.
I've just
looked. Is that the cheapest one that you can actually get anywhere?
It's a good sign when it says check pedestrian system on the dash.
So it's crashed into someone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yes. Okay.
Do you know what that means? Mm. They've got airbags under the bonnet.
Do they?
And that means it's been deployed, yeah.
But I think we can agree. For the amount of like money, this is a crazy car. Like a 4.2 litre supercharged, 0 to 64.9 seconds.
I'll tell you what, buy that car, enjoy it for a few months or whatever, put it up for sale and let me know how you get on.
Also, do me a favour.
Yeah.
Look down that camera and tell everyone who's listening and watching that you recommend that they go out and buy that car. Would you do that for me, please, Rory? Mm. We're ready.
I recommend.
Yep.
If you are not of sound mind.
Not of sound mind. There you go.
That you should buy this car.
Also, I just had a look and the S5 has got a 0 to 60 of 5 seconds. So it's not that bad.
So it's slower.
Who's counting?
Of course it's slower than yours.
So I have the quickest car.
Yours has got 100 more horsepower than mine.
It's been very crashed.
And it's not even that much faster.
But it doesn't matter.
It matters.
It does.
And look, you've got to admit, that is a cool-looking car.
I think that's ugly. Genuinely think that's ugly.
No, you do not.
Genuinely, the XK before that, way cooler-looking car than that. That looks rubbish.
The problem with that is the facelift exists. Oh. And the facelift looks... you can't deny this. 10 million times better than that.
But I can't afford a facelift in this budget.
Rory, you've really messed up here, haven't you?
I haven't. This is a great car.
It's okay. It's not your fault. It's not there you go.
I think it's safe to say I won that.
No, come on, give the people a chance.
I chose the only V8 manual out of all of us that's the cheapest out of all of us and is the best value for money.
Speaking of, right, how do you feel about everyone writing in saying that Taylor would have won the Find of the Week in the first episode. However, you went over budget.
By £100.
No, it was £140. So I actually won that with my Alpha GTV.
I'm not having that.
You got to stick to budget.
No, I won that.
Well, no, you didn't though.
I can't remember what I chose, but I won that.
It's been over a week.
It has been over a week. Okay, so yeah, write in, let us know. Also, give us a category and a budget for us to do next week. The email address is
podcast@autoalexcars.com.
Very good. I love the intonation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was spicy.
It's like I'm reading like an advert or something.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is indeed. What have we got in here? What have we got in here? What have we got in here? It's very tight. Oh, very
careful,
tight.
Careful,
oh,
careful.
Yeah. Okay. What have we got in here?
It's a poster.
A round tube. That's very nice.
It's that kind of 1920s aesthetic of Shedfest at Goodwood.
Yeah.
And these are online.
Fantastic.
They're also signed here.
They are.
Which devalues them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But we don't. We only sell them devalued.
Oh, fantastic.
By Alex.
Yeah. So these posters, as Chris said, are live now on the Auto Alex shop.
Website.
On the website, which we couldn't do without the help of our very good sponsor, Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is a commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. And whether it's stickers, t-shirts, or even Shedfest posters that you're selling, well, probably not Shedfest posters, that's only us. Shopify simplifies selling in person and online, and it covers all of your sales channels. Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. But not only that, because Shopify is also full of industry-leading tools to supercharge your growth, giving you complete control over your business and your brand without having to learn new skills in design or coding, as well as supporting you every step of the way with their award-winning help and extensive business course library. But do not take my word for it, because Chris from Merchant Events is back to tell you guys why Shopify is so good and why it has helped revolutionize the business.
We got loads of them.
We do.
We've got 8 now.
8?
It's going up
it
all the time.
It was 7 last time.
I know it's going up all the time. Thing that you would like to sell, Alex. Think of a thing you'd like to
sell.
Dog beds.
Dog beds are very hard to come by. Good ones.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like to sell them to pretty much any country in the whole world?
Yes.
Done.
Oh, okay.
Set it up.
How long did that take me?
An hour or two to set up.
Okay.
And then you can just sell it anywhere.
So why is Shopify good to use for someone like you?
You can do anything that you need to do.
Yeah.
So you install apps, you can code, whatever you kind of imagine, you can do it. So if you imagine for our business, or perhaps for your dog bed business.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you had a little dog bed YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
You can just connect them up.
Oh, really? Okay, very nice.
You're not
going to
hold my hand?
So people, watch the video and they're
connected and underneath is your shop. And that doesn't take long at all, like half an hour. Connect them up.
Fantastic.
Sync them all across.
So would recommend?
Yeah. Of course.
There you go.
Use it all the time.
So then, if it's time for you to get serious about selling, get Shopify today. You can sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/autoalex. That's shopify.co.uk/autoalex. This is possibility powered by Shopify. Right, Rory, news.
News. Okay, so we have 2 bits of news,
yeah,
which I've just got to find on my phone.
Yeah. Are they both good news or bad news?
One of them is good news.
Oh, good news. Shall we start with the good news?
Let's go on here.
Yeah.
So we've got Clarkson.
Yeah.
Is returning to motoring TV.
Oh, is he back on Top Gear?
No.
Is he back on the Grand Tour?
No.
Has he started his own new show?
No. He's guest appearing.
Is he?
In
Auto Alex Cars.
No. It's Car SOS.
Really?
Yeah.
They with Tim and Fuzz?
Yeah, they haven't quite said how long he's going to be in it for, but apparently they're restoring an old Series 1 Land Rover for someone.
Oh.
I'm not quite sure if this is just trying them.
And Clarkson will just happen to be there. Maybe they're doing the reveal of his
car. I don't know whether this is...
Is this a really tenuous link?
I think it is. I think Clarkson was literally probably driving past and they were like, oh my God, that's Clarkson.
It is in The Independent where it's been reported.
It is. Yeah, it is.
I've seen this posted about quite a lot, actually. And I was quite curious to know what was going on. But
okay.
It's very interesting.
So
actually,
there will be a shot of Clarkson driving past in his Range Rover at some point in Car SOS.
So do you think Clarkson's ever going to actually return back to a motoring show? Because he has said that he's done with them.
I think, personally, with the farm and Clarkson's farm, how does he have the time?
Yeah.
He doesn't have the time to do
that. I also don't think so. I think for him, the chapter is closed. And I don't think he'll ever be able to do it as good as he has done.
Mm.
So why go back and not be as good as you have been?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like Clarkson can't now ever do motoring as well without Hammond or May.
Mm.
I think that's... that. Well, I don't think... It's not that he can't do it. I just don't think the public will allow him to not do a show without them.
It just won't have the same vibe, will it?
Yeah.
I think he'll... look, if it was reviews and testing cars or whatever, he'll still be good on his own. There's no doubt about that. He's a good journalist. He's a great journalist. But the whole ethos of what he did was the road trips. And
also, he's not been a motoring journalist for many, many years. He's been an entertainer.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's known for entertainment, not motoring journalism anymore.
And he said that none of these new things interest him anymore.
Yeah, which is totally fair.
Because everything's electronic and made out of plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good news. What about some bad news?
Bad news. Ineos Grenadier, which I am a massive, massive fan of, may I say, because it is pretty much a defender.
Yeah. Mm.
They've had to recall a lot of their cars.
They're not better.
Oh, it's not because of the engines, is it? Because they're BMW engines.
No, it's because the doors are falling off.
What?
Well, they're not falling off.
The doors are falling off. That's not really what's going on, is it?
No, the doors are just coming open while people are driving along. And it's basically to do with the fact that they didn't put enough grease in the door handles, so they're not fully shutting properly. The mechanism is...
So what, is it like a push button thingy?
So it's like a pull handle, I think. And then basically, it might be a push button, but it's basically where it's constantly pushed or pulled open, where the door can just come open while they're driving along.
That's good.
I mean, these are what you call teething problems, aren't they?
Yeah.
So what are they doing? What are they literally just having to just grease the doors?
They're just fixing them free of charge, apparently. Okay. And then they're going to get it sorted. I mean, to be fair, small car manufacturer, they're going to have a little issue every so often.
Yeah.
But yeah, apart from that.
That's quite a big issue. If you're going around a corner, a door flies open.
Well, as long as you're wearing your seatbelt, you'll be fine. You can drive a Jeep without any doors.
You can drive any car without any doors.
You can, yeah. It's not a legal requirement.
Is it not?
So what is the most basic version of a car that you can drive on a public road and still be within the law?
Any car.
Yeah, but I mean, like, could you take doors off? Could you take a windscreen out?
I don't know. That's a good question. Well, so...
Well, you used to be an MOT tester.
Doors aren't a legal requirement as long as the seatbelt isn't attached to the door. Okay. And you have to make sure you still have mirrors, door mirrors.
Okay.
If the mirror is attached to the door, you take the door off, you need to put a wing mirror on.
Okay.
Windscreen.
So, for example, I could say my 530D.
Yeah.
I could literally just take the doors off.
Yes.
I would have to put like a little, and it could be a tiny little bike mirror, couldn't I? That I put on the wing.
On the wing, yeah.
See, one of my family members, they had a dog and it chewed through their rear seatbelt.
Mm.
Oh.
And that's an MOT failure then.
It is, but.
But if you take the rear seat out. Then no longer an MOT failure.
Oh, and did you know if your car failed on windscreen wipers or the washers not working, if you remove the windscreen, you'll pass. And if you remove all of the lights on the car, it will still pass an MOT, but only allow you to drive during the day. So it's something called a daytime MOT.
And who decides what hours that is? Because in winter, it's very different.
I can't remember what the hours are, but you can't drive it at night, basically.
Okay.
But you can remove the lamps.
Have you ever driven a car, still legally, but people look at that and think that's illegal?
I once picked my friend Andrew up from an airport in a Mazda RX-8.
I remember this.
With no doors on it.
Oh, you took the doors off?
I took the doors off. So, funny story.
So the mirrors aren't attached to the doors?
No. Well, they are, but I put some mirrors on it.
Oh, okay.
So I remember speaking to Andrew about this because at first he thought this was hilarious.
Yes.
And then when they realised that the journey was about, what was it, 45 minutes, 50 minutes?
It was, yeah.
Oh, dear.
It was quite cold.
And it was a freezing cold day and he was sitting in the back.
So
it became no longer very funny.
He can't have been sitting in the back because the seatbelts are attached to the doors.
The rear doors.
Yeah. So he wasn't sitting on the back.
He was in the front. Okay, but I left the rear doors on.
Oh, just the
front
doors
off.
Yeah,
I thought you took all of them off.
No. Funny story. I bought a Mazda RX-8 once.
Yeah.
It had Lamborghini doors on it. So they had scissor doors on it.
Oh, I remember that.
And I had to change the door hinges. I wanted to put original door hinges off on it.
Yeah.
I took the doors off and I was like, oh, I've got to drive it. Because it's just what you do, isn't it?
When you take the exhaust manifold off, it's like, I've got to start it.
Exactly. So cable tied a couple of mirrors on it. And that was the day I was picking Andrew up from Stansted Airport, which is about 45, 50 minutes away from me.
Yeah.
I thought, brilliant. I'll go and pick him up with an RX-8 with no doors on it.
Oh, God.
So I've pulled into the pickup point at Stansted Airport in a Mazda RX-8 with no doors on it.
Amazing. I can just imagine what...
I thought he was going to fall over with laughter.
Yeah.
Went to a petrol station up the road, put some fuel in it. Everyone in the petrol station was laughing and taking pictures. And we all thought it was hysterical right up until 20 minutes into our journey home when there was literally a thunderstorm.
Oh no.
And it was thunder and lightning. It was freezing cold. The temperature went drop and all the water sort of coming in and our hips were wet.
Oh God.
It's quite funny though.
Yeah.
Good funny story that.
Indeed, indeed. I just can't get over the fact that, back to the MOT, if you fail on washer jets, you can take the windscreen out.
Yes.
Imagine going to the effort of being like, right, you failed me. Literally driving the car out the MOT station, smashing the windscreen out and being like, there you go.
Oh, no, you've got to make sure there's no sharp edges.
Yeah.
You can't have any sharp edges.
You do that with a hammer.
Yeah.
You smash it out and just smash all the little bits. Yeah.
So there's a...
Your whole interior would be full of glass, but you would win against the MOT tester.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't recommend doing that.
But there's a top tip for you. Don't change your wiper blades. Just take your windscreen out.
Yeah, just change your windscreen every single time. Yeah. Very expensive way to pass an MOT.
It is,
Right then, before we move the podcast on to a new segment we like to call Keep or Quit that I will tell you about in a second, a shout out to Shedfest. We've got a big Shedfest car show going on at Goodwood Motor Circuit on May the 25th. Celebration of shitboxes, high mileage heroes. All of the show car tickets have already sold out. Spectator tickets are selling out very, very quickly. So if you want to come to this year's biggest and best celebration of shitboxes and high mileage heroes, then link below, go get your tickets. We've got a massive family zone. Tom Lenthal is going to be there as well. He's got, 15, 20 really, really special cars.
In the Goodwood Legends.
In the Goodwood Legends section. We're going to be up on stage. There's going to be Dodgems. If it rains, we're going to have big tent things as well. It should be a really, really, really amazing day. And cannot wait to meet you guys. It's going to be bigger and better than last year and the year before that. So Shedfest, May 25th. This year, go get your tickets right now. And Rory as well, you got a little announcement?
Yes, so as part of our merch website, we have now got the biggest deal we've ever had.
Biggest!
Had.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
God, supposed to fade it.
Oh, sorry. Had.
That's better.
Yeah. Okay.
We are spending too much on these SFX.
So we have got Spring 30, for you guessed it, 30% off the entire website. Except for some of the, there is selected merch that isn't, but nearly everything is.
It'll be obvious if you go onto their website.
Yeah, you'll see it.
AutoAlexShop.com.
Yeah, 30% off using Spring 30.
Yeah. Is that because it's the spring?
Yes.
And when does that last until?
That will last until the end of spring.
Oh, the end of spring? Okay.
That's quite a long time.
That is a long time.
It will last until it lasts.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure.
That will last until we turn it off.
So get them while they're hot and cheap.
It might not be long because it'll probably sell out quite quickly.
Yeah, that's actually very true. Very true. Right then, new segment, Keep or Quit. So this is, the thing behind this is, right, say you're me and you own a car that's really good, but you spent so much money on it and you need to spend more money on it. And you're like, should I keep it? Or should I just quit and sell it and move on?
Phil.
Shut up.
You should sell it.
Defender, you should sell it.
M5, you should sell it.
Fair. So basically, this is one example, but it could be like you're really unhappy in your job or so. You can tell us. We'll be like your agony uncles and we'll give you our kind of 2p, our opinion on whether you should keep at it or just quit and move on. Because this is a new segment, I want to get started, okay? It's a car-related one. And my keep or quit for this week is Big Pete.
We've discussed this so many times.
I know. I love Big Pete, right?
Do you?
He's got a bit of rust.
You do. You have actually... You used to hate Big Pete, but now you quite like
him. It's taken me a while. Yeah. I think it's because you now hate Big Pete.
Yeah.
I now love Big Pete.
And you know what it is, actually? Mm. Big Pete started to get so shit that you now like it because it's shit. Because you like shit cars.
I think that's why, yeah. And he's a fast approaching 200,000 miles. He's on 192,000 miles.
But he's not going to make 200.
He will. Okay. Or will he? This is why we're here to discuss it, actually. So Big Pete needs some rust repairs. That's no big issue. That's going to be a few hundred quid. But the biggest thing now that is letting Big Pete down is we think, and we haven't actually plugged in the diagnostics, but we think the actuator on the turbo is sticking, which means that when you're going uphill, especially when you're towing, the car goes into limp mode. And then you can't accelerate. And I had this issue on the way back from Landau a few weeks ago. When I was towing the amazing Yeti and I had to pull over 2 or 3 times and switch off, switch on. It's boring and it could get quite dangerous. So we don't want that. So to Rory and to Taylor and to everyone listening, because please write in because I'd be interested to know your opinions. Should I ask Tom Lenthal, this is the stupid thing as well. You need to take the body off the car to get to the turbo.
You do need to take the body away from the chassis.
So there is a little hack you can do, which you can cut a hole in the side of the body, like arch bit.
Yeah.
And then you can get just enough room to sort of, you can like grease up the actuator, but it's not a fix.
That's not a permanent
It's
fix,
not a fix. No, right. it will go, because the thing is, it's a turbo. It gets so hot, it
yes.
melts it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So yes, should I ask Tom Lenthal to take the body off, change the turbo or fix the actuator, whatever? Or is it now time? It's Tom Lenthal. He's on the phone right now. Let's speak to him. Oh, should I give him a call back?
Yeah.
Hello, mate.
Hello, Tom. Sorry I missed your call. We're actually doing a podcast at the moment and we're literally talking about you.
Oh, really? What have I done?
Oh, it's what you haven't done yet. So we've got a new segment called Keep or Quit. And my keep or quit this week is Big Pete. Should I keep Big Pete and invest more money, or should I quit while I'm behind and sell Big Pete? If I keep it, then I need to pay you money to take the body off and to get the turbo fixed. What would you do, Tom?
It's Big Pete news that I'm ringing with.
Oh.
Because we were talking previously about a company that does...
Yes. Yes, V8. We were in last week's podcast. Yes.
And I've just spoken to them. And they're basically putting, he was a bit vague on the details, but we basically need a Range Rover Sport 3.6 V8, and they put the other bits and pieces in with new turbos, new this, new that. And for Disco 4, it was £12,500, including VAT. But for a Disco 3, it was £8,000, including VAT.
Yeah, but imagine it would have a
V8. Does that include the engine, Tom?
That includes everything. I.e., you drop the car off, pick it back up. He said a week later, and it will have a V8 in it. Blah blah blah.
That is quite cool.
Oh my, Tom!
All working, full integration.
Big Pete lives. Keep. I'm keeping Big Pete.
Oh, I thought that was a good deal. I didn't think that was bad.
All
right, Tom.
I think we've just got our answer there.
You're very echoey, so I'll give you a call back in a little bit when we're not doing the podcast, but I think that's very, very interesting. Thanks for the info, Tom. Bye.
So,
okay.
Well, that changes things up. That's very fortuitous. Okay, so before we continue, right, because you've been banging on about getting a Disco 4 with a 5-litre V8, petrol, because they don't go wrong, blah, blah, blah. But they are £25,000. I love Big Pete. If we can get a V8 in there, diesel, would you be happy?
I would personally.
It's Big Pete, man. Don't get rid of Big Pete. And it's a saving of £4,000 as well.
I would personally still get a Disco 4 and put one in there.
But everything's been done to Big Pete.
Yeah, but it's all the little things that are going wrong with it now. No, it's all the...
Not. I think Rory just wants that because he likes the interior, because it's nicer. So when he borrows it, it's a bit nicer.
I don't know. Do you know what I mean? There still is a lot of things that
he's
are going wrong.
He's a proper tart for interiors, isn't he?
I genuinely think that you could sell Big Pete and buy a Disco 4, but we're so far into Big Pete now. When you look back at all the stuff we've done to that car, it's genuinely not worth getting rid of. And also, if you sold it now with the issues it has, you get nothing for it. You'd have to sell it at spares and repairs.
Probably, yeah.
So you'd be losing even more money, when actually what Tom's just given is you could create something quite cool.
So that company, what, MDRS?
MDRS, yeah.
And they're based...
Automotive. They're up north.
Up noof. And they literally put
I can't
good
believe
engines.
Tom's just phoned just as we're discussing.
I know, yeah. I mean, it's all scripted.
But
yeah, for £8,000 all in, I think that is... a bargain. I know it's a lot of money, but for what we need that car for,
so that would then be, would that still be the same gearbox?
No, it would use the gearbox from the Range Rover Sport, because otherwise it won't bother.
Is that a ZF?
It's the ZF6.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
So the gearbox that you've just spent £2,000 rebuilding.
We're throwing the bin.
Yeah.
Or I'll have it back and try and recoup some of my losses.
Well, no, it's my gearbox.
No, I want it back.
I don't care. Okay, you can buy it
for
£2,000.
It's still got my name on it.
You can buy it for £2,000.
No, it's mine.
I think that answers the question. Tom has answered the question. MDRS, that company as well, potentially could answer that question. Good video in it as well. And it's Big Pete. We can't get rid of Big Pete. Think of the adventures we've been on with Big Pete.
All right,
he's been on the
Nürburgring. The one thing I will request then that we do change with Big Pete.
Yeah.
If we do this.
Yeah.
The seats.
Why? Oh yeah, see, it's quite hard. No, I'll get you a cushion. Real, I'll get you one of those covers.
After driving it now, you must, because you must have felt it on the way to Wales and back. That driver's side seat has got no padding left.
What
in
about
it.
Buckets? Should we get bucket seats?
Four tillets.
Seven tillets in there.
Can we put a Disco 4 interior into Big Pete?
Apparently not all of it. Some of it you can, but not all
can
of
we
it.
Not just retrim the seats?
Yeah, you can get just
get
sponge.
New cushions.
Could we
we'll just cut it open and then just put some new sponge some in there, yeah.
Car wash sponge.
But at this point, yeah. Would it just make sense just to get a Disco 4 and then do the conversion?
Do you know what? It would, but we're not going to do it that way because we live a difficult life. Big Pete stays. I'm going to phone this company and see if we can make this happen. I'm very excited now.
I think that is quite cool.
That is quite cool. And
it will be one of the only ones in the country, yeah. Isn't it? Like probably, well, one of few, because there's not.
And then we can swap out this silly V8 table and get Big Pete's engine. We'll just put a piece of glass on top of it. It'd be lovely.
That is.
It's cool. It is very cool.
Plus, yeah. It would then actually not be a lazy, because, you know, it's not till switching between Big Pete and my Range Rover. I've realised how slow Big Pete is.
Quite sluggish,
isn't it? The Range Rovers are fast. Also, if you backbox delete that, they do make quite a nice V8.
They do.
And like I said, I love a V8, so let's do it.
All right, so are you
keeping
or quitting Big Pete?
This week, it's a keep!
Yay!
And on that happy note, we're going to call it there, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you very much for your support. Thank you very much for listening to us jabbering on and watching us jabbering on about cars and what we've been up to and my love of Big Pete and everything V8.
Great cars.
Don't forget to email us at
podcast@autodialectscars.com
with your suggestions for find of the week. Also, if you've got any interesting news that you want to tell us, we will do that. And your keep or quit. We will be your agony uncles. And we will help you through this tumultuous time. And with that, whatever you do, do it to the best of your ability. Thank you very much to Rory and Taylor for being great on the podcast. It's fantastic. We'll see you soon. See you next week.
See you then.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.